It's probably the biggest untitled topic that's been around in the last few months. We've got new words in the language now, or new terminology in the language. Is it lockdown? Isolation? Oh, they call it something isolation, isn't it?
Self-isolation.
Social distancing. And all these things are against connecting. Have you noticed? They're all stopping connecting. And I suppose, regardless of how much of a loner you might be, we all need to connect in some way. So this last few months has really been a trying time for many. Particularly those that perhaps don't see many people generally anyway. Some people like a multitude of friends, some people are just satisfied with a handful.
Yeah.
And wherever on the spectrum are, where whatever connections you had have stopped, you miss those connections. And we struggle, particularly this last few months, things like, well, not so much affect us perhaps, but clubs and pubs, restaurants, even sporting get-togethers and social groupings, they've all been put to one side. And even, dare I say it, shopping. It's even, you know, that trip to Meadowhall that you love to make. That sometimes these things are where we connect, and when we connect. And for a long time now, we've been unable to connect. So we've taken to things like Facebook and Instagram and all these other terminologies that I don't use, but you know what I mean. There are good some good things in them, and we get some connection on it. But I've heard people say that, I've got 100 friends on Facebook. People we've never seen, never met. The only thing they've had from them are words on a bit of paper and possibly pictures. But I've 100 friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
But it's not a connection. I suppose to some people it is a connection, but we need real connecting things. And Jesus was into connecting. He has some interesting things to do about connecting. And there's some things that he did that really opens our eyes and our mind and our heart to how and why and when we connect. You know, one of the probably the strangest connections Jesus made, and you'll know the name, was a man called Zacchaeus. Now if you turn to Luke chapter 19, you'll find out about Zacchaeus. He was an interesting man, but not everybody's favourite friend. Zacchaeus was a tax gatherer. Not just a tax gatherer, he was a chief tax gatherer. So he was probably very much despised and feared by his own people. So I'm just going to read this account of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verse 1. He says, "And he, Jesus, entered and was passing through Jericho, and behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was. And he was unable to be because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. And he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be with the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now this man Zacchaeus was interesting. You and I want to give him house space. He was the chief of tax gatherers. He was rich, and his richness came from his tax gathering. He fleeced off from his own people that made him rich. He was also small in stature, so he didn't fit in with the norm of the people. So he would have been rejected on a number of accounts. And wherever there are crowds, and there would have been crowds round Jesus at this time, he wouldn't have been welcome. If people had seen him there, they'd have been moving away from him. He would have been known by his reputation. They definitely wouldn't have been connecting with him. Even his small stature would have made him an odd one out. So even that he would have been rejected because of that. But they would have known his reputation, all those around. So he's Zacchaeus. He's trying to find a vantage point just to see Jesus. He didn't expect anything. He just wanted to see this man. He'd heard all about him. He must have heard his reputation before he came. Why then would Jesus stop Zacchaeus? He wasn't a good man. He was cheating. He was getting his rich off the people that he lived around. He wasn't one to be liked. He wasn't part of the family of that community. He was hated and feared, and he was rejected, and they probably talked a lot about him behind his back. He wasn't liked. This is probably why Zacchaeus went and found his way up into a tree. He couldn't stand among the crowds, partly because he couldn't see because he was small, but also because he would be isolated. So Jesus, we see in verse 5, it says, so when Jesus came, he says, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for today I must stay at your home." Out of all the people, and there were some decent people that Jesus could have touched, mentioned, named, where he pointedly, deliberately chose Zacchaeus. In verse 9 we see a result of that connection that Jesus made with Zacchaeus. He says, "Today salvation has come to this house." Amen. Who'd have thought? Zacchaeus. They'd have said, "No, you won't. He's no good. He's a bad man. He's once bad, always bad." But Jesus came and he connected him to God the Father. In just a moment, Zacchaeus' life was transformed. And it wasn't just skin deep, because it said Zacchaeus made his promise. And it was a real promise. And you will believe that Zacchaeus did what he said he was going to do. He was going to straighten up. Four times he was going to give back anybody he defrauded. He says he was going to give half of his wealth away. Something happened to Zacchaeus. And it happened because Jesus made a connection. Amen. And you notice that Jesus reached out to Zacchaeus. That's one way the connection comes. Jesus reached out to him. There's another instance where someone reached out to Jesus. And you probably know it as the woman with the issue of blood. Now that's found in Mark chapter 5. verses 25 to 34. So this is a woman that, again, crowded place, a woman that would have been rejected because she was unclean, because she had an issue of blood. She was, if you were in India, you would call them untouchables. Keep your distance. She's sick. She's ill. So verse 25, it says, "And a woman who had her hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse, after hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I shall get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction." Amen. "And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude pressing on you, and you say, who touched me?' And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" This is a woman again that's in a crowded place. She couldn't, in her own strength, really get to Jesus. She couldn't reach through. She'd be shoved out of the way. Again, people probably knew about her, a problem. She'd been to many physicians and sorting out for 12 years trying to get well, not being able to. But she did something special that only she could have done, because no one else at that moment among that people had that same faith that she'd got. She said, "If I just touch just his garment," she said, "if I just touch his garment, I will be healed. I believe I will be healed just touching his garment." There's something wonderful happened because Jesus felt the connection. What did Jesus feel? Somebody just touching his garment? I don't think that was it. It says, if you look at verse 30, it says, he felt himself, perceiving in himself that the power proceeded from him. There was some power went out of him at that moment in time into that woman. That woman drew from him by touching. What connection was it? What was the connection? The connection was faith. That woman had faith at that moment just to reach out and touch Jesus. Jesus didn't have to do anything. The woman drew from him. This was another woman rejected by the norm because of her condition. She'd come to Jesus and just reached out, and something had happened. It says in verse 34, it says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Amen. Your faith has made you well. At that moment in time, a whole future was changed. Because she had the courage and the belief and the trust to reach out to Jesus, her future changed. That verse 34 tells you it brought her from sickness into health. Just in a moment, her whole life transferred to a new reality. it was her connection to Jesus. We saw how Zacchaeus, that Jesus made a connection with Zacchaeus. Now this is a lady making a connection with Jesus. No one else knew the situation. Only that woman. She must have thought, hoped, prayed and longed for that moment for so long. Her faith must have been building up and building up and building up. And if she could just reach him and touch him.
Amen.
You know, we can feel lost in the crowds. I'm one that would tend to stand at the back and let it all happen. And it's easy to do that. But sometimes we have to push forward and push through and reach Jesus for ourselves. You see, both of these happened when Jesus came.
Yeah.
The opportunities, if Zacchaeus hadn't have been there, even though it might have just been curiosity, I don't know, it doesn't tell you much about Zacchaeus. But he was there, curious or whatever. He didn't expect Jesus to notice him in a crowd. The woman, it was different for the woman in the sense that she had a faith to believe that she could reach out to him. And she did, and things happened. The whole things changed. You know, Jesus is wonderful how he sets these things out. We think, oh yeah, that happened and that happened, that. But when you start unrolling it, unraveling it, you see there's a pattern forming. You have Jesus reaching out to somebody, somebody reaching out to Jesus. There's another one I want to share with you. Remember that some of you will know about the man who was on a stretcher and lowered through a roof because they couldn't get in, right? You'll find that in Mark chapter 2. Verse 1. He says, When he, Jesus, had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. Did you know that Jesus had a home?
Yeah.
He wasn't homeless, right? He had a home in Capernaum. There's a, if you want to check as well on that, if you look in Matthew chapter 4 verse 13, it tells you again about his home. It says, and many were gathered together, so that there was no longer room even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men, and being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Just a question. Don't look at your text. How many brought him?
Four.
We can so easily miss that. That man was a paralytic on a stretcher. Couldn't move. These four men came, tried to get into Jesus. The home was packed with people. They couldn't get anywhere. So they went up on the roof, broke up the roof, and lowered him down. The marvellous thing is about this is, Jesus initially doesn't talk to the paralytic. He talks to the men that brought him. Or he tells you that he noticed them, more so than the man that was ill. Verse 5 it says, and Jesus, seeing their faith. See, we think about ourselves connecting with Jesus, but we can enable others to connect with Jesus. That man that was on the stretcher was brought by the four men, lowered down through the roof. They enabled him to meet Jesus. And by doing that, the man got healed. But Jesus, it says in verse 5, responds to their faith. The four that brought him, it says, and seeing their faith, the four men that brought him, it says, he spoke to the paralytic. He says, "My son, your sins are forgiven." But it's the four men, the enablers. The enablers brought him. So that's, we've got three different situations now. Zacchaeus, the woman with the issue of blood. Now you've got four enablers that have brought someone to Jesus. And as a result of them bringing him, enabled him, he's got healed. They give him the chance to connect with Jesus. But they connected as well. Jesus made sure of that. He made sure that they connected too. Do you know that we can be busy in life and not connected?
Yeah.
We're busy and not connected. We need to look at Mary and Martha.
Yeah.
Look at that. Luke chapter 10. Verse 38. So this is Jesus now. He comes to Mary and Martha's home. So now as they were travelling along, he entered, that's Jesus, a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then let her help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So we've got two people, we've got Mary and Martha here, sisters, welcoming Jesus into their home. Jesus is sharing. One of them's connected, the other's not. Mary connects with Jesus. Martha is busy. Is very busy. She's doing what she feels is important, getting all the preparations. All those people need feeding, looking after, water to drink. But it says, she's worried and bothered. It says in verse 40, it says she's distracted with all the preparations. She's distracted from what was important. Mary, you think, oh well, she's getting out of the chores, isn't she? No, she was doing the thing that she needed to do. There's a wonderful little window here. Mary is listening to Jesus. Now, if you look down in verse 42, it's saying to Mary, it says, "But only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. Only one thing. Only one thing is necessary." And he says, "And for Mary's chosen it." What was that one thing? That one thing was being attentive to Jesus. Martha, for all her efforts, and she was doing some good things, but for all that, she was missing what was really important. The really important thing was just putting her attention to Jesus. We're often either a Mary or a Martha. We're often one or the other or a mixture of. We're trying to get things done. Oh, we've got this to do. But we've got this to do. And we go around. We're productive in a way. But sometimes Jesus says, the one thing that is really important is having our attention on Him. For all that we need to do during the week, all the things that we need to do, we need to have our attention on Him. It's one thing, that one thing is necessary. Jesus was just trying to bring Martha into the loop. He was trying to connect with Martha because he could see that Martha was disconnected from him because she got her whole attention on the preparation that she had to do, or that she felt she had to do. We can be sometimes like that. We're so wrapped up in what we feel we've got to do that we miss the importance of having our attention on Him. Another one we need to look at is the account of when Jesus met the rich man. Matthew chapter 19. Who had the rich man converses with Jesus. He comes asking Jesus a question. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Now, the heading of mine, it says, the rich young ruler. So, quite an influential person. It says, and behold, one came to him and said, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I might obtain eternal life? And he said to him, Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbour as yourself. The young man said to him, I've kept all these things, what am I still lacking? Jesus said to him, If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, Who then can be saved? And looked upon them, Jesus said, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So we have a rich man here. He wasn't a bad man. He said he keeps all the commandments. He's not one that's ostracised from society. He's a rich young ruler. He's a good man in a good position. The only trouble is, his riches got in the way. He must have realised that in him there was something lacking. And Jesus pointed out to him kindly that if he wanted more, he needed to give his riches away. He needed to remove what was hindering him, what was keeping him short of where he felt he needed to be. See, it's easy for us to get disconnected when we're holding on to something that Jesus wants us to get rid of. It's easy to hold on to things that Jesus says, you don't need that. You don't need that. Sometimes we'll go down paths in our lives that Jesus says, don't go down there. Don't go down there. And we get down there and we find the problem that Jesus was trying to steer us clear of. And Jesus says, you need to move away from that. You need to get away from that. We can sometimes hold on to things that we find very difficult to release. His was riches. Could be all sorts of things that's holding us back, that we're holding on to. But it stopped the rich man connecting. He felt that he was shorter, that he'd done all the commandments, kept the commandments, but he realised there was something lacking. Somewhere along it he hadn't got the connection with Jesus. And he only needed to do one thing. See, we sort of just read that and think, oh, that's the complete picture. It may not have been.
No.
We don't know what happened to that rich young man later in his life. It might have reached him. The message of Jesus might have reached him. But we can be held back, weighed down, burdened with things that we shouldn't carry, things that we shouldn't be involved in. And Jesus just wants to clear us of clutter so we clearly can connect with him. Just finally, I want to just share with somebody else, and that's Peter. We all probably know the story of Peter and how he denied Jesus. Let's just turn to Matthew chapter 26. Verse 69. Long chapter, this one. So we have Peter. Among Peter's, Jesus' disciples, there were three that were particularly close to Jesus. That was Peter, James, and John. They were, I won't say that Jesus picked them out special, but they were close. When Jesus was being betrayed and they were having supper, and one of the disciples leaned to Jesus when he was talking about being betrayed. He said, who is it that's going to betray you? That was John that was next to him. Now, they weren't sat around a trestle table like we think. They sort of lay on the floor. They would be laid, I think, on the left-hand side, because your left hand is the unclean hand. So your right hand, which will you take food? So there'd be a length round that. So John would lean back on Jesus. Who is it that's going to betray you? So these were people that were particularly close. Peter was a hothead. A very strong person in a lot of respect, but a hothead. So we get here that Jesus has been arrested and the interrogating going through all sorts of awful things with Jesus, and Peter's just found his way into that area. I think John's with him as well. So they are in that area where Jesus is. He says, now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a certain servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later the bystanders came up and said to Peter, surely you too are one of them, for the way you talk gives you away. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the words which Jesus had said, before a cock crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. At that point in time, Peter had disconnected with Jesus. He must have thought, I have blown it completely. I said I'd die for him, and here I am, denying him. You know, if we put ourselves in that situation, what would we have done? In fear of life, the whole multitude against Jesus at that moment. All Peter wanted to do was, he had that need to be there, yet he must have been so full of fear at that moment, and he denies Jesus. So he disconnected. One of the things that Peter later on goes, he says, I'm going fishing, which is his trade he had. I'll go fishing. And he caught nothing. You remember the story. But the wonderful thing is, Jesus reconnects him. In Mark chapter 16 verse 7, the angel that's in the tomb that's telling them Jesus isn't there, that Jesus isn't there, he says to them, go tell his disciples and Peter. Go tell his disciples and Peter. There is hope for those that were connected and have lost it. You know, sometimes Christians can be very cruel to their own. People that have fallen at different times. And Jesus wants a connection even with those. Yeah. We will shoot our wounded sometimes. And we need to heal them, yeah. Not shoot them. Mm-hmm. And it says, Jesus can reconnect you, and you can reconnect with Jesus. It's a wonderful possibility that those that have walked away from Jesus can reconnect.
Amen.
We could be enablers in bringing them back sometimes. You know, we look at this list of people that I've gone through, and sometimes I say, where are we on the list? Where are you on the list? Are we as Zacchaeus? You know, we're hiding in the crowd, trying to climb a tree to see Jesus. We don't expect him to see me. We don't feel part of the group. We're isolated. Can Jesus even see me? Perhaps our lives on the wrong track. We've got taken the wrong track. Can Jesus really see me? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Wherever you are, wherever you're gone, Jesus can see you. And Jesus wants to connect. The poorly woman that had spent so much of her life struggling to be healed found faith to reach out to Jesus. That might be you. You're looking for that faith within yourself just to reach out and touch Jesus so he can restore you like he did the woman. Or maybe you're like the one that brought the man in the stretcher. You might be like the four that brought him. You might be in the position of enabling somebody else to come to Jesus. That person might be caught up in something that's got them bound. Might be physical, mental, emotional, circumstances. Something they've got themselves into. But you can be there to enable them to come to Jesus. Maybe you're a Mary or a Martha, or a mixture of both. And sometimes we get so busy in doing things that we forget about attending to Jesus and listening to what he's got to say. Maybe there's something in our lives that's stopping us connecting. But what Jesus did with Peter shows that we can be reconnected. We can be reconnected with him. In each of these impossible situations became life changing. The tax gatherer, the sick person, the one that's busy, the one that's holding on to something that they need to let go of it. All of them had an answer in Jesus. Amen. He had an answer for every situation. He covers the whole spectrum. Whatever situation you're in now, Jesus can touch your life. He can get into your life. He can connect with you, and you can connect with him. Amen. Don't think you're out in the cold. Don't think you're too far from Jesus. Don't think it's for somebody else, not you. This is for you. This is your life. This is for your situation. I've heard so much in recent times about being connected, disconnected. If the world could get connected with Jesus, what a transformed world we would live in. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants a glorious bride. He wants a bride that's connected to him. And we can be part of that bride, and we can draw others in. And it's not going to be by force. It's not going to be by pushing and cajoling. It's going to be by the love of God, the love of Jesus, the gentleness of Jesus. For each of these that we've shared about, Jesus was so loving and so gentle to each one of them. He could have dismissed them as hopeless cases. He didn't. And their lives were transformed, and ours can be transformed too. So I hope you've been encouraged in seeing that Jesus is working in your life. Wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, Jesus is there.